Well, hello, my friends. Welcome to another episode. Clay and I are here to bring you some more fabulous topics. Say hello to everyone, Clay.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Great to be back for another week.
Yes, Clay gave us some great topics, so they are going to be coming up. Another week, another fun show. They don't quit giving us topics, man. That's for sure.
There's never a lack of material. That's the best part.
Holy cow, there isn't. It's actually the opposite problem, right? Like, how do you narrow it down to just a few? Like, they're all, like, everything is you know, merits conversation for sure.
Yeah, and it's, there's so much recurring. Like, I mean, you know, the president almost fell down the stairs of Air Force One again today, right? I mean, how many times do we have to go over that topic?
Right.
It keeps happening. Every week there's something new.
It's so crazy. Speaking of recurring things, it's like deja vu, thanks to our star of our first topic here. Hillary Clinton's bringing back Russia, Russia, Russia.
Yeah. Former Secretary Clinton is the audacity of this woman never disappoints. Never disappoints.
And by the way, if you said Russia, 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 just like this,
Marsha, Marsha, Marsha,
we can be friends.
Now there's a classic. There's a classic. That was a good pull. I like that.
Thank you. I always look for an excuse to use one of these classics. And so I'm glad I got to use it. But yeah, but you know, Hillary, man, 2016, you know, of course, that was the song of her people. Russia, 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 Russian interference in the election. And they lost their ever loving minds over that. And that's despite Barr, they had special counsel, right? Who came up with, so now I wrote this down so I would make sure I got this right because I think it's important. 19 lawyers, 40 FBI agents, 280 subpoenas, 500 warrants, and it resulted in zero evidence of Russian interference or collusion, I guess, with between Trump and Russia. However, there was definitely strong indication that the Clintons had a little something to do with stuff and things there. Convenient to forget that.
And that's where the audacity comes in, is that I don't know if she is just assumes that everybody has forgotten or assumes that you know, there's enough people who disagree with the evidence that's out there, but it was very, very clear through all of the processes and procedures, General Flynn, everything that was involved, that it was fabricated. The dossier, all of it was fabricated, paid for by Clinton. And I just say Clinton because it's a massive thing, right? Paid for by that apparatus. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, with blessing approval from the White House.
Right.
The Obama administration knew about this. That's all out there. None of this is being made up and it's not speculative.
Right.
It got blessed off by the White House. They knew this was happening. The Clintons paid for the whole thing. And she brings it up like nothing ever happened, like everybody's an idiot and everybody's forgotten what happened, you know, 7 years ago. It's crazy.
I have to echo you. The audacity just is stunning. It is breathtaking, the audacity. But then on the other hand, it's almost not, because there are so many on the left that are still singing this song, still repeating this lie, despite the proof of otherwise. And, you know, and the same thing that goes along with all the other conspiracy theories regarding the White House influence on social media platforms. I mean, Twitter, Elon Musk, you know, exposed all of that. They have admitted to it. Zuckerberg has admitted to it, more or less. None of these things are a secret, like you said. Nothing's hidden. This is all out in the open. This is all truth and fact. And they're still plugging their ears, going la, 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 la. And, you know, when I do a little research on these, for looking usually for clips, the amount of propaganda that I find on these major platforms is, again, breathtaking. So in that sense, it's not even that surprising.
No, but she's been like this. It's the same thing. It's the server, right? It's the 36 or 63,000 emails, whatever it was. You know, the server that got was in her house, smashed with a hammer, thrown away. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. It's, you know, it's and just the sheer just belief or refuse to acknowledge any kind of mea culpa. I'm sorry. Yeah, I screwed. Nothing. Zero. Deny. That's it. And then really play the rest of us like we're idiots. Like we forgot, or we're too stupid to realize, or to play to the crowd, like you said, who, you know, sticks their fingers in their ears and denies that any of this ever happened. So she's ignoring one, playing to the other, insulting everybody else who's left over.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's crazy. And she just straight face.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw the interview or not. Complete straight face.
The level of arrogance, pompous arrogance that just she exudes that. And, you know, rightly so, because they have been above the law for as long as they have held any position of power. And there's nothing to dissuade them from believing that. You know, every single thing that has become or looked like, maybe now something's going to happen. There's going to be something. And it just goes right, nosedives, just disappears, you know, and the American public is exhausted. They're just sick and tired of, they don't even want to hear it anymore. They're like, whatever, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen to these people. They will never be held accountable. And, you know, and I hate to be pessimistic, but what else can we think at this point? How much more can be, you know, basically thrown in people's faces, just handed to them on a silver platter of truth and fact. And they're like, nope, nope, nope. Can't touch that.
Yeah. And so it's, I understand what she's doing on behalf of the party, which is planting that seed, right? She's planting that seed out there that says, could be something wrong. Could be something wrong with the election. I'm just telling you now. Could be. So that plants the seed for, you know, anything, for a shadow of a doubt. If the election doesn't turn out the way that her party wants, you know, they can always go back and say, yep, it was the Russians. We talked about this. Hillary said it September 20, whatever, 5th to, you know, 2023. She said it. We got to look at the Russians. It's a theme that they've got, and watch for more, because this won't be the last one. Watch for more to sow that doubt before the election ever gets kicked off, right? Before it ever launches, they're already, you know, it's the athlete that says, well, you know, the field's really bad today, or man, I hate playing in the rain, or you know, I always hit bad against this guy. They're making excuses before they ever step out on the field. And that's exactly what's going on now, is they're setting conditions for excuse for failure, or excuse to, you know, to challenge anything that doesn't go their way. So this won't be the last one. I can promise you this will not be the last one.
Yeah, I believe you. I believe you 100%. And, you know, and it's just, it's just the, again, I'm going to use the word audacity, because that's really what it is. And the hypocrisy and the flat out, pardon my language, bullshit of it all. You know, 2016, this election was rigged and Russia got involved and interfered, and that definitely happened. And then in 2020, when the other side said, hey, wait a minute, some things are kind of funny here, I think some fishy things went on, they're like, you're crazy. You people are conspiracy theorists. You're nuts. You're bananas. You don't even know what you're talking about. You're, you know, you're a conspiracy theorist and, you know, all of these things, and conveniently forgot all of the things that they said and their behavior then. And just as a little reminder, let me just play this little clip of a reminder of their behavior, you know, when Trump won. I love the juxtaposition of the love Trump's hate, love Trump's hate. And then in the next round, it's, you know, bleep Donald Trump or bleep Trump, you know, and, you know, and those are some of the mild ones, really.
Yeah. And burn it all. Right. Burn it down. You know, that everybody, you know, and listen, I'm not one that advocates or advocated for, you know, some of the actions on January 6th. I'm not. But January 6th, you know, is special because it was the Capitol of the United States, and specifically the Capitol building of the United States. And I understand that's a very, you know, very polarizing topic for a lot of reasons.
Right.
Right. But before that, there was an advocation for violence in every major metropolitan area.
Absolutely.
For, you know, a couple of years before that. Right. Mm-hmm. Starting right there. Right. Advocate.
Yeah, you know,
those peaceful protests didn't stay peaceful very long. Right.
No.
And then all the way through COVID, you know, my home city of Chicago, where I live now outside of Philadelphia, New York, Los Angeles, riots in the streets, violence everywhere that everyone turned a blind eye to and said, oh, well, they're just expressing their feelings. Right.
Right.
And you get that snowball rolling. Right. And then it doesn't stop. And so, again, this prepare ourselves for, you know, 18 months from now when all of this cycles back again and you get the same reaction and worse if the election goes blue.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you have people like Maxine Waters and inciting violence, not just condoning it, inciting it, encouraging it, calling for it, and several others. She's just one example. And, you know, if anybody, you know, because always be like, oh, prove it, prove it. Hey, listen, I'm not doing your homework for you. It's out there. It's so easy to find all the videos of her, you know, saying the things that she's saying, encouraging them to get in Republicans or conservative or Republicans' faces and don't back down and don't, you know, all of these things. And you know, it's just a lot of wow, a lot of wow. And I honestly, I can tell you honestly, I don't know why it still hits me with the wow factor, but it does every time. Like, I just cannot believe that this is real life. And I'll tell you, and I think I can speak for a lot of people right now on both sides. I am sick and tired of fighting with fellow Americans. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm tired of being pitted against other people who believe differently than I do. I'm just sick and tired of it. And I really hope that that group really does rise up and say, you know what, enough. I'm not playing these games. You're extremists over here. You have extremists over here. And all the rest of us, we're right here. Okay. We want our country to be safe. We want our kids to grow up free and safe and all of the things that we rightly expect in this country. And, you know, just sick and tired of being divided.
And so you're starting to see, and this one surprised me. I just read this one not that long, actually a couple of hours ago. I haven't yet seen the interview, but I read some of the transcripts. So James Carville, you know, the Democratic, long time Democratic strategist for the party, was on the Bill Maher show, which Bill Maher has been, he's been an interesting turn in the last, you know, probably 8 or 9 months. But even James Carville started talking about what he referred to, his words, the loony left. And he's talking about the extremists that you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
He's not talking about, he's not talking about his party as a Democrat. He's talking about the extreme left and the damage that they're doing to their own cause because of their extreme, you know, views and everything that they continue to push. There's starting to be some backlash there internal to the party. And I understand that, you know, on the right, in the red, there's the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. No rational person is going to side with the extreme right, you know, and you can name any number of groups that associate with the extreme right, you know, up to and including racist, you know, white supremacist type groups.
Right.
Nobody's buying into that with a rational mind. But you're starting to see the extreme left take flack from inside of their own party, from really one of the biggest, longest standing names in their party as the loony left, because they're doing more damage than they are anything else. So I think you're right. I think that that middle, that big middle that you and I have talked about multiple times on multiple shows, we're all starting to get sick of it. You know, like you said, excuse my language, the shit's getting old. Like it just is. We're all getting tired of it. And I think we're really going to start pushing those extremes out and making them less and less relevant on a regular basis.
Right. Well, you know, and I really hope that more people from their own respective parties start looking at what things like, you know, what Hillary Clinton is doing now, you know, stirring that pot that has already been taken off the stove. That pot's been washed and cleaned and put away. Yep. And here she is putting it right back on the stove and stirring it up. And I have to show my graphic. I was supposed to show it at the beginning and I just love it. So I'm showing it right now as we're talking. But we have to just stop with letting these people run the show and stir everyone up and stir that pot. It's time to say enough, and people need to really expose themselves to, you know, everybody has to get out of the echo chambers, I think. And start listening to what the other side, and I hate that we even have to refer to sides, you know, it's so annoying to me. And, you know, but we need to really take a critical look and use some discernment when we are listening to people like Hillary Clinton and who are just starting up with things that have been settled. They've been already taken care of. So why are you doing that? You know, what's your point? Well, the point's pretty obvious. It's everything that you just said. You know, they're lining up their little dominoes, just in case, like you said, in case things don't go their way, they've got something to stir up the people with.
Yeah. And it is getting old. I think, you know, we do need those adult grown-up conversations. You know, they start around the kitchen table, right? And, you know, and then they grow for the rest of us to say enough is enough. But it's got to reach on both sides, right? Both sides of the aisle. It's got to reach the highest echelons for them to start saying, okay, we got to, enough's enough. We got to stop playing the game. Cause that's really what this is. It's gamesmanship. Yeah, the only purpose the Clintons serve to the Democratic Party right now is name recognition. Mm-hmm. That's it. You know, she's not running for president again. I mean, obviously she would be already if she was, because she's not getting any younger like anybody else in Washington.
Right.
But it's all name recognition. So they're using her voice. So it's purely gamesmanship. That's all it is. And it's all part of the strategy. But somebody up there, a James Carville type, somebody who's controlling, you know, the reins on both sides, can say, stop it. We're not playing these games anymore. We deserve to be honest, you know, to the American people. They deserve that from us. We've got to stop this, you know, BS just going out of everybody's mouths. And it's got to be an honest thing. Unfortunately, though, you know, that I don't know when that's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen. Not in my lifetime. It's just the way politics are, unfortunately.
Yeah. I agree. You know, you look at and we'll move into that too. You know, you look who we have running on the Republican side, and who of that group, if any of them, could offer that potential middle ground, that olive branch, you know, that start of something. And you know, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, we can and we will speculate a little bit about it, but we have the Republican debate coming up there, but we've got the debate coming up. That's 9 o'clock, and it's going to be interesting. 7 of the 8 candidates are going to be up there. We lost one, drawn a blank on his name, Asa. That's how memorable. That was mean. I'm sorry. That was mean. I shouldn't have said that.
I think he didn't meet the donation, you know, level requirements right to be a part of this one. I think he wanted to, but, you know, hasn't met one of the criteria to stand at one of the podiums. So he right fell away. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's see. So we're going to have Ron DeSantis, of course, Vivek Ramaswamy. We got Nikki Haley. We got Mike Pence. We got Christie, we've got Tim Scott, and we have got Douglas, what's his name, Burgum. And I'll be honest, I don't even know who he is. I can't even lie. Can't pretend like I do. So that's who's going to be up there. And who do we have kind of leading the pack there? We have DeSantis, Vivek is right up there. And I think Nikki Haley, are those the three kind of front runners?
You know, Vice President Pence, I think, didn't do as well as he wanted to in the last debate. And I think that, you know, lowered his stock. And again, everybody who is rabidly fighting against President Trump, you know, is already at a disadvantage. And I understand why they're doing it. They're trying to separate themselves. And OK, sure, that's great. But you and I have said it, whether President Trump runs or not, whoever has his endorsement ends up being the candidate one way or the other. So
right,
his base is so deep that if you go after him personally, which is why Chris Christie is in a bad spot, because he keeps going after him too. So mm-hmm, everybody who keeps continually going after President Trump outwardly is putting themselves at a disadvantage.
Yeah. And the biggest proof of that really is DeSantis. Now, DeSantis was looking very, very strong very early on, and he did not do as well as I would imagine anticipated or expected in the first debate. He did not make any gains, really. And I don't think it was really any losses for him, but it definitely wasn't any gains from it. It did not help him in any way, shape or form. And you know, he did the thing that I was really hoping he wouldn't do. I wasn't surprised that he did it, but of course, you know, go head on against Trump. And I was really hoping he wouldn't, because I think that would have fared. And I'm not saying, you know, kiss Trump's ass and any of those things, but I am saying I think he could have and should have taken the high road, essentially. Because again, it goes back to what we were just talking about. We're really sick and tired of the nastiness, the attacks, the viciousness. And I critique Trump on that too. I'm tired of it from him. I don't want to hear, you know, I mean, I like to think I speak for maybe average Americans when I say, I don't want to hear what you think of that person. I don't want to hear you call him a dummy or this or that. I want to hear what you're going to do for this country. And I want you to back it up, you know, with facts, with data, with, you know, information. Now, I'm tired of attacks, you know.
Yeah, everybody, you know, the mean tweet thing, right? I mean, everybody talks about the mean tweets. And I'll be honest with you, you know, for almost the entirety of his presidency, I said it, I can't even tell you how many times, somebody take his phone away from him.
Yes.
Like just, you know, one of his kids, his daughter, I don't care. Somebody right take the phone away from him. Mm-hmm. He did more damage to his brand, to his following, to mm-hmm. people who had any respect for him at all because of the mean tweets. And I know that right. he thinks it's silly, but it matters because right. that's the face of the Oval Office, right? When mm-hmm. the Oval Office is represented by a bunch of mean tweets, that's right. the way things are. So, you know, but you know, the topic that we're trying to hit right here, you and I, is exactly what you're talking about, which is substance, right? Yeah. What do we want to know from these seven that are going to stand up there on Wednesday night? What mm-hmm. do we want to know from them? And right. I'll kick it to you first. I mean, give me one. What's one thing that you want to hear either from the candidates as a whole or mm-hmm. maybe from one specific candidate?
Sure. You know, I think it kind of goes into a little bit of the almost accidental theme that we're kind of underlying here talking about. And, you know, I want to know what you're going to do. So first of all, I obviously want to know what your plan is on foreign policy. I want to know what you're going to do about the border. I want to know what you're going to do about all these really significant things that are going on economically and world relations. Those things for sure. But I want to also know, how are you going to bring us back together? How are you going to at least begin to fix this? And, you know, and that's a pretty big ask because you're, you know, the chasm there is so huge right now. You know, do I really think that can happen during one presidential term? I don't really, but I'd like to hear their ideas on how we can move forward together instead of divided. And I think that might be one of the biggest things I'd be curious about hearing. How about you?
Yeah, I actually would be interested in, I hate to say a format change, but a little bit of a format change, right? So everybody's got, I think across the board, the seven candidates have something that hits very close to them specifically, right? Pence is the only one up there who's actually worked at that tier of government. You know, Nikki Haley worked at the UN. Mm-hmm. You know, Chris Christie's proximity to New York City and everything that's going on there. Plus, he's the governor of New Jersey, which got some of its own, you know, kind of challenges. So, like, as an example, I would mm-hmm. love, and I know the Republicans never want to do the Second Amendment gun control debate on television, right?
Right. But
the state of New Jersey is one of the most restrictive states in the union when it comes to private ownership of firearms. So right. I would like the question asked of Chris Christie, where mm-hmm. do you stand? And as the governor of New Jersey, right, why is your state this, you know, controlled? Do you plan on carrying that forward into the mm-hmm. White House, et cetera? And then let him defend his position, right? Because it's near right. dear to him. And then let the other six kind of go after him, right? So what yeah. you get is a good feel for who they are mm-hmm. and then let the other six kind of go after him and then let them think on their feet to defend their position. And then move on to the next one. And again, so Nikki Haley with the UN, right?
Yep.
So Nikki Haley, you spent time, you know, as representative, you know, to the UN for the United States. How do you feel, you know, the United Nations and the United States membership to the United Nations, you know, where do we sit and how does it look moving forward? And let her talk from her area of expertise. And then, oh, by the way, the other six get a chance to go after her. Mm-hmm. And you could do that with all six of them. Pence has been the vice right. president. There's a million topics there that you could hit, right? You know, Tim Scott, DeSantis, they've all got their own niche that they're kind of focused on.
Right.
So I would almost like to see really almost a format change, truthfully. Mm-hmm. But again, focus on the topics that matter. And I think yours, you know, the bringing us back together, you know, you could do that. You know, I hate to say, but you could do it to Tim Scott, right? As the right. lone African-American candidate up there. And some people yes. turn around and say, well, that's, you know, you're targeting him. That's racist or whatever. But I mean, who better to ask,
right?
I mean, truthfully, who better to ask and say, how do you bring us back together as a conservative African-American, you know, president? How does that mm-hmm. work in your tenure as in the White House? And just let him go and then right. let him defend themselves.
Yeah, I love that idea. And I think you're right that, you know, it's true as I was, you know, kind of reviewing each one. And as you said, each one has their little niche that they, this is their thing. You know, Tim Scott, I think he's like border control. One other, I forget what the other one is. I wrote it down somewhere, but, yeah, you know, he's got his lane that he wants to talk about. So obviously he's going to come out really strong in those areas. But again, like you said, well, where do each one of you stand on 2A and, you know, what are you going to do and not do? Because that is a huge issue, for, you know, well, for all Americans, really, no matter what side what position you take on it. Obviously it's one where we're at odds in. So I want to know if I'm going to vote for you. I want to know where you stand on that and what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. So yeah, each one, kind of being forced to talk about the issues that's out of their niche, that's out of their, you know, target points there for talking. That would be really, really good. And Pence is, you know, I mean, each one is super interesting in their own way. You know, there's a couple I feel like I've already ruled out for myself mentally, and there's others that, you know, I'll keep watching. But
yeah, I think, you know, Ramaswamy is the wild card mm-hmm. right now because he is, you know, everybody else who is even a mild contender. Right. Everybody knows Chris Christie. Everybody knows Vice President Pence. Everybody kind of knows Nikki Haley. Everybody right. kind of knows Ron DeSantis because he's put himself out there. You know, Vivek is the latecomer and really kind of the, I won't say dark horse because it's not really what he is, but right. he's the unknown. He's the wild card. So, mm-hmm. you know, as a business owner, right, as a business guy, that's who he is sure. or he claims to be. Right.
Right.
Throw yep. the economy at him. Like, yes. Let's really see, right? Because that was always one of President Trump's own talking points, right? Stroking mm-hmm. his own ego a little bit as he talks about running billion-dollar businesses and all this other stuff. And, you know, he can fix the economy because he knows how money works and investments and all these other things. Well, you got another mm-hmm. guy who's got a resume, right? A legitimate right. non-political resume. So, mm-hmm. you know, throw that at him and say, okay, you're the new business guy, right? President right. Trump decided not to be here again, which I think mm-hmm. is terrible.
Yeah.
But you're a business guy. How are you going to fix the economy? Talk to us. Tell us right. what you got. You're the expert here. So the economy, I think, for everybody across the board is such a big topic.
Yeah.
Everybody's hurting when it comes to gas prices, grocery prices, taxes, everything else that, you know, that's one that they can't skip over. And like you said, in detail. Like, I mm-hmm. really want to know in detail what you're going to do, not just right. I'm going to make things better. You know, it's yeah. not.
Yeah. I don't want to hear their no. politis speak, you know. Well, I'm so glad you asked that question. The things that we're going to do, you know, do the Kamala thing. Well, the things yeah. that we're going to do are the things that we've done in the past that we want to keep doing in the future, except for the things that we're not going to do anymore. And that's what we're going to do. that is the, you know, classic, you know, response to every difficult question yeah. that ever get asked.
yeah, because anytime they afford details, right, mm-hmm. it opens them up to scrutiny. So they're always afraid yeah. to provide detail because then it does open them up. But that's yeah. what we all deserve. That's what we all need. Going back to what we were talking about before,
yeah.
we deserve as voters to know even now, right? Even this early, we deserve to know what these people stand for, what their platform really is, not when it's whittled mm-hmm. down to two or three, and right. not when it's whittled down to electoral votes, right? Not when yeah. it's Democrat versus Republican. I want to know now.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, sooner rather than later, for sure, yeah. because I want to know if I'm wasting my time here on you, you know, so just put it all out there and let me know what you stand on. You'll have people that, you know, want to walk that walk with you. But I, you know, we don't have time to waste here. You know, we all hate having our time wasted. So just tell us who you are, what you're about, what you stand on, what you plan or hope to do. If you're going to be president, and you know, Ramaswamy is interesting. He's like the shiny new penny, right? Yep. He's shiny. He's young. He's everything that all the other ones are not. And he has those similarities to Trump, yet he has more finesse, a lot more finesse in his speaking and everything. I mean, he actually technically that's part of what makes me a little wary of him, that I almost feel like he's just a little too finessed. Man, that kid, you know, he says, of course, I call him the kid because he's, you know, he's like almost 30 years younger than me. So I don't care. He's a kid as far as I'm concerned. But I'm exaggerating. He's not that much younger.
On that one. He is. He's like, I said this before. He's like a guy selling a mop on the Home Shopping Network.
Yes.
Like that's the vibe that I get from him. Like he should be pitching a product on Shark Tank. Like
yes.
It's so, you know, used car salesman in the way that he speaks. And it's not that he's without substance, but the delivery is so cheesy that he's got to bring that down a couple of notches, try and relate to the American public a little bit more, because he does seem on the surface, if you're just looking at, you know, the flash in the show, there's some untrustworthy kind of, you know, tendencies in the way that he talks to people.
Yes. Yes. And I'm going to throw a suggestion out to him because, you know, obviously he watches the show.
Sure.
Don't. Yeah. Right. I mean, come on. I'm going to say, Vivek, honey, sweetheart, please don't rap. Did you happen to catch the Eminem rapping?
I have, yes. That and stealing the quote from President Obama.
Yes.
Was like that, you know, there's some dumb things to do, but quoting Obama at the GOP debate, either he assumed that nobody knew the quote, or it was just some classic, like, I'm going to be sarcastic and funny and people are going to think it's hilarious. And it bombed.
Like, it bombed big time.
Horrible. Yeah. You know, oh, yeah, don't do that and no Eminem. Like, absolutely no.
Yeah, just a couple of nopes and maybe you'll be fine. And, you know, I mean, I, again, as with all of them, I hear mixed feelings. You know, I mean, I've literally in one day I've spoken with one person who has high esteem and high hopes for Nikki Haley. And in the same day, within hours, I talked to somebody else that was like, absolutely not. No way. And it's like, wow. Okay. All right. People have their strong feelings based on, you know, whatever factors matter to them. And all the more reason, like we were saying, all the more reason to put, I want to know what you stand for, what you plan on doing. I just want to know who you are before I invest in you. And, you know, message to all of the, to the left over there, not every Republican, not every conservative is dead set on Trump. And I know they all believe that just because, you know, we have a conservative in our title somewhere, that we're automatic Trumpsters. And that's not the case. And I'm not saying I wouldn't vote for Trump, but I'm not saying I would vote for Trump. I'm saying I'm waiting for the best candidate. Right. The best candidate that, yeah, you know, whoever it is that's going to represent, and that's what we should be voting on, right? And I don't, you know, it's not my thing to preach to anybody what they should and shouldn't do, but I am going to take a moment, get up on my little soapbox and say, you should be voting on the issues and what they can actually do, or what you believe that they can do for you and your family and your loved ones and your country. So not on personality. Not on looks, you know, not on trivial, superficial things, not on, well, my cousin's brother's uncle said that, you know, so-and-so is a jerk, so I don't like him. You know, I mean, we got to stop with the nonsense.
I won't say repeated failures, but, you know, let's be honest, President Biden got elected because he wasn't President Trump.
Yeah.
President Trump got elected based on personality and reputation, right? Mm-hmm. And really a displeasure with the previous 8 years. Mm-hmm. President Obama got elected because he was young, he was new, he was fresh. It was all personality, right?
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, like you can go back, you know, I mean, go back to President Clinton, right on Arsenio playing the saxophone. Like, are you kidding me? Like that guy sold himself as the cool guy.
Yes.
And you know, and against the old guy, right? Which mm-hmm. was President Bush at the time.
Right.
So you're right. I think, and you know, hindsight being what it is, we're all afforded that luxury, but we really do need and we are owed an honest candidate who can tell us what their platform is, what their opinion is, what their plans are, and what their policies are planning to be before we even cast a primary vote for them. Mm-hmm. You're 100% right.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to find out pretty soon. Are we going to find out? I just, you know, they're so polished, all of them, to some degree, sure. Some more so than others, that, you know, I just hope we can get past the veneer of all of these candidates on both sides. You know, I mean, there are things about Robert Kennedy that I like, you know, not enough to sway me, but there are some things that I like. There's plenty of other things that I don't, that completely rule them out. But, you know, I mean, I almost feel like we're getting closer to this idea of, you know, inching towards a middle ground. I don't know when we'll get there, but.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I saw this a couple of figures the other day, and that was about, you know, potentially a challenger to the president. And we've talked about this before on this mm-hmm. show, but those numbers are starting to go up, right? The concern right. over the president's age is those numbers are growing. You know, the desire for a challenger to him is growing. And interestingly enough, it's growing in the, you know, younger generation voters, which I was mm-hmm. a little surprised at. Maybe I think that's a lot of it has to do with the age, but that 18 to 24 window, that number is growing in, mm-hmm. hey, Democrat, yes, but we need somebody other than Biden, and they want a challenger. So we'll see how that all plays out. You know, that'll, you know, we've talked about this. That'll be interesting as well, you know, but, you know, moving on to our third topic, you know, the one person that we really don't want running for president is the one who's second in line. And that's your buddy, Vice President Harris.
That was a beautiful segue. I mean, how could you not slide right into that? Oh, my goodness. So, you know, as we're all coming to know, I love my little video graphics and my little pictures and stuff. So, of course, I made one for Cammy. And this is now we're calling her the czar of all trades. And why are we calling her that? Well, of course, I'm going to show you. Here we go. So, yeah. I mean, so we start with the border czar. Well, that was a big tanked on that. I think she was there once, but that might have been on the border restaurant. I don't think she actually got all the way over there. Yeah. So that was tacos. A bust. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Got herself some queso and had a good old time with it. Then they're like, okay, well, that didn't work. How about, okay, well, we got to keep her busy. So let's give her AI czar. She can be the artificial intelligence czar. And all she did for that was explain that AI stood for artificial intelligence. So that was a big tank. So I don't, I just don't even know how not to laugh about any of this, because what else are you going to do? I'm wondering if it's them, the collective them, saying, Kamala, we got to find something for you that, you know, you're going to excel at, that you're going to be the woman at. So let's try this. Okay, let's try that. Let's try this. And they're just throwing things, you know, at the wall, or if it's her saying, you need to give me something where I can be important. You know, if she's doing like her Veruca Salt of, you know, I want this. And of course, I'm going to show you that.
Don't care how, I want it now. Don't care how, I want it now.
You know, is she Veruca in this? And she's just like stomping her fist and saying, I want to be this. You have to give me, you know, more power, more influence, more something. Does she think she's doing a good job? I mean, what? You got to tell me, Clay, what is going on?
I applaud you. That was beautiful. So I'll tell you, as a gun owner, competitive shooter, recreational shooter, somebody who, you know, professionally, you know, carried a gun and understand and know it, and have my own beliefs about the necessity for private gun ownership, I'm actually very, very excited that they have given her this job. And here's why. One,
I'm already laughing.
State attorney for California, right?
Yeah.
She made it a lot easier for criminals to not go to jail.
Yes.
They gave her the border, became the border czar, made it a lot easier for people to come across the border however they want. AI, she closed her eyes, and we have already seen leaps and bounds in AI application in just the very short period of time. So yes. As a pro 2A, pro gun owner, putting her in charge of, you know, deterring guns, gun ownership, private gun ownership, because that's what this is about. I'm super excited. I think this, you know, trend analysis tells you that she's just going to make it easier for everybody.
Absolutely. We collectively, all of us, gun owners and 2A supporters, we all applaud. we all give her a round of applause for this appointment. As you know, bizarre as it is, you know, she's made a couple little stompy statements about the need for gun control here and there. And they're like, oh, that's enough to give her this position, you know, or at least in name only. I mean, she's obviously just a figurehead at this point. And she's just, you know, kind of like they're talking, walking puppet doll that they.
Elsa, she's the scapegoat. She 100%. You look at the things that they have given her. They are failure before she even is put in charge, you know, and it's, I hate to say it, you know, her level of competence is not good in my opinion, but at the same time, she's been handed that sandwich time after time of things that you can't control that are a disaster from the get-go that you know are not going to succeed. And they keep giving it to her, right? Because it allows the president that distance. He can always say, especially after, oh, by the way, if, you know, they decide to cut her away, they can always turn around and say, well, that was, you know, she did that.
He can always, you know, it wasn't me, you know, he can
do that because they've laid this on her plate. She's the sacrificial lamb. And, you know, it's not fair to her, but at the same time, I mean, when you're the vice president, you get what the president hands you. And that's all there is.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, I almost, it's just a little flicker, but I almost feel bad for her.
I knew you did that little bit, that good Christian girl of you. You do have that little bit of sympathy for her. I understand.
Yes, it was my Christian heart coming out there, and probably I must have gotten like a little knock on the back of the head from the man upstairs, and he's like, "Act right, Elsa. Act right. Come on, say the right thing here." And I'm like sitting there grudgingly, "Fine. I feel bad for her."
it's not good. And truthfully, this is one of those. Nobody knows what it looks like. Nobody knows what it's going to look like. Nobody has a trajectory or a path for what this office is going to do and what they're going to accomplish. This is another big gov, you know, new money, you know, throw cash at it, right. you know, agency, not even an agency, it's going to be a directorate or something that, mm-hmm. you know, will amount to very, very little, if anything at all, except right. to fleece money from the American public. That, yeah. That's all this is going to be, because, you know, the reality is very much in the vein, and we've talked about this too, there are a couple of key mm-hmm. topics in America, right, that right. people are hard divided on.
Yes.
Right? Second Amendment, private gun ownership is, you know, it's one of those dividing lines. And mm-hmm. the White House, you know, can't afford to take a hard line on private gun ownership. They can't.
Right.
So this is what it is. This is capitulating. This is putting a silk hat on a hog, whatever you want to call it. But this is them just, you know, feeding the masses, let them eat, whatever. And right. just doing, right. it looks like they're doing something, and really it's not going to do anything.
Exactly. And they know all of the things. They're not, we can call them a lot of things, but stupid isn't one of them, yeah. you know?
No. And, you know, this will be the voice, right? It'll be the mm-hmm. voice, and it won't amount to anything else, but it'll be the right. voice for the, you know, for the White House, for the administration to say, you know, oh, just, you know, Vice President Harris, that's, she's got that. She's taking care of this. She's on it.
Right.
You know,
yeah. Direct it all questions yeah. to her, direct them to her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. As the White House, you know, press chief is screaming at reporters over and over again to stop asking the same questions that she refuses to answer.
Yeah. 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 I'm not, how many times can I tell you, I answered the question by not answering the question. Now stop asking me questions, even though it's my job to answer questions. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta love
that. That happened again yesterday. Did you see yes. that? The UAW yes. thing? Oh,
yeah.
Ridiculous.
It's just yep. stunning, isn't it? It's just, it's yeah. all, you know, it's so disturbing that it's comical. Like you just, again, I always bring it back to, you know, anybody gets mad at me when I make jokes and make light and do my little spoof and skits over these things. You know, I tell them all the time, listen, you don't understand. If I don't laugh, we're not going to like Elsa very much. You know, well, there's people that certainly don't like me, but that's okay too. But, you know, mean Elsa is not a fun Elsa. So we have to stick with the fun Elsa.
yeah. So I'll be the bull guy. That's fine.
Yeah.
Not like me, perfectly okay with it. But I, in all seriousness, the reaction from, and I always screw up her name, so I'm just going to call her the White House press chief. She, when she's done with this job, and everybody usually lasts, not everybody, but most people last somewhere in the 9 to 12 months range because it's an right. exhausting job, right?
Yeah.
Mentally, it is exhausting to get mm-hmm. up there and get punched in the face every day. That woman, and I know this, that woman is actually starting to show signs of PTSD. And I'm not kidding. They yeah. need to do a good mental evaluation of her when she leaves that job, because yeah. the absolute anger that she shows on a regular basis towards reporters mm-hmm. who truthfully are being civil. They're
right.
they're not, you know, they're not calling her names. They're not attacking her. Maybe they're frustrating her, but the level of anger that comes from that comes out of her is actually mm-hmm. very concerning for her as a human being. And I'm not joking about this. She needs to probably put some time in, if she's not already in some serious therapy when she comes out of this job, because I think it's really scarred her, which is a shame, but mm-hmm. but that it's starting to really, really show in how she's reacting to the White House press corps.
Yeah, she's you know, she takes these questions, she takes them as attacks, and she takes them very personally. And she doesn't have answers, and whether she doesn't know the answers or she's being told to, which I think is more of the case, that she's being told, you know, nope, can't answer that. Tell him nope. You know, so she's put in this position of, she knows she's going to get hammered, you know, with questions that she is not allowed to answer. And she has to keep telling people that. She's not a dummy. You know, I'm sure she's seen all the critiques and everything. So, I don't doubt that you're right about that. And yeah, I agree. I hope she takes a long break after this and after her time there. And boy, I don't know. I wish her well. I wish her well. I wish everybody well.
She's gonna get the Jen Psaki job. She's gonna end up being a commentator on CNN or MSNBC or something like that. It's gonna happen for her. But I really do. In all seriousness, that woman needs to take care of herself. The break, I think you're right. She does need to take a break. But it's gotten worse, and it's not doing the administration any favors, and it's certainly not doing her any favors.
No. And I know, you know, I hate to talk about public figures' personal lives, but because it was put out publicly by her, I will tie that in also, that she just had her and her longtime partner. I don't know if they were married or not, but her longtime partner, they split, you know, so you can only assume that her work life is affecting her personal life. And, you know, that's now you combine very stressful work life, stressful home life. The poor woman is probably on the verge of breaking, probably, you know.
And nobody deserves that. I mean, like you said, she's being put in a bad position. You know, she's doing the best she can, but she's a punching bag right now. And I think, you know, anybody truthfully who takes their job seriously and wants to do well, you know, is not going to fare well in that environment when it happens day after day after day. So, you know, I know this is kind of a left turn on everything we've been talking about, but I really hope that her time there is not long for her own well-being, but I hope that she takes care of herself, you know, in the afterlife after she walks out of that job and goes and takes care of herself, because it is pretty rough.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I guess we can sum it up that, you know, for all of them, whether you agree with them or disagree with them, like or dislike them, you know, being a public figure, being in an arena that is toxic, probably pretty close to 100% of the time, because you're always fighting for something, against something or for something. We talked about, I think the last time, the pictures of presidents going into office and then a picture of them coming out of office, how much they aged in a really considerably short period of time. And, you know, they do jobs that most of us have no desire to do. And because they have a certain personality type that thrives on that. And even so, it takes its toll. So, you know, all we can hope for is that we get smart enough to insist on people being put in that position that deserve that position and can represent us. And then maybe we can beat them up a little bit less. I don't know.
It's easier for everybody. It's a simple ask, but that's all we're asking for.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, all right, guys, listen, Clay and I could keep talking about all this stuff all darn night. And I know you could listen to us talk about it all night, but we're going to cut you loose until next week. We appreciate you hanging in there. Listen, every week I ask you, if you got something you want us to talk about, we would love to hear it. If not, feel free to just hit that subscribe button and make sure you follow along and share us over with your friends and family and enemies and anyone and everyone. We love that. And we will see you guys in the next week. Got any parting words for everybody, Clay?
Hey, two things. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Also, this beautiful shirt that I'm wearing tonight is from the Alan J. Lynch Foundation. He is a friend, Medal of Honor recipient from Vietnam, based in Illinois. They do a lot of great things for veterans all over the place. But that organization is near and dear to my heart. That's the Alan J. Lynch Foundation. Look them up.
I love it. All right, guys, take care, and we'll see you in the next episode. Bye-bye.